simply the judgment of God. Or maybe they're all three. Regardless, I undergo so many uncomfortable situations that I fear that I am beginning perdition while here on earth. Even when I pray about these things, I seldom, if ever, get an answer. And it seems to me that my frail life is on the road to destruction. Now, these are sentiments that we all do face to a certain degree and at certain times. All believers know that we are less than perfect. And sometimes the sins and the failings and the contrast in our lives with those of others stand out so strongly that we could draw the assumption that we are not saved. And this is a terribly uncomfortable feeling, and it should not be for believers. Some believers hold on to this for long periods of time. Others have it temporarily. It's an ongoing struggle. And due to our various emotions, we vary in degrees of sensitivity and weakness when it comes to this. We can feel strong in the Lord one day, and we feel due for condemnation the next. Instead of resting securely, we can be painfully unsettled. Now, admittedly, this is no way for a believer to think, and it's not the right place for us to live. The Lord has provided this portion of Scripture in Romans 8 for all believers to see that our relationship with the Lord is absolutely 100% secure. Because, this is the emphasis, it is not contingent on our tenacity. It is not contingent on our ability or our perfection or even our ease of life. It is the Lord that has secured our relationship with Him. Now, looking at the context in a very broad sense, if we were to go back in our minds to chapter 7, we saw that it describes the struggling efforts of a believer that falls to sin. He knows he shouldn't sin, but he does it anyway. Chapter 8 immediately follows with the reality that regardless of our poor choice to sin, God still does not condemn us. Ever get the impression that you're going to sin your way out of God's good grace? Can't do it. It continues in chapter 8 by affirming that the current difficulties of life, which some often attribute to punishment, God is mad at me and He's sending these things my way. And sometimes I get it. It feels that way. Because you can't find any good reason for why you're going through what you're going through. These are not a sign of current attitude that God has to you that He doesn't like you. That's not what's going on here. They are a means, and this is what Scripture has said in this passage, that God uses to guide us in our spiritual growth. Following that discussion, we are told that our struggling prayer life, which we all have, and I know there are some people that say, oh, I don't have any difficulties, but you're not praying. You're not living. You're living in a dream world here. Following this, it tells us that the Spirit helps us because just allowing me to get in by the skin of my teeth, and I'm going to have a back corner in heaven somewhere. And every now and then, one of the lesser Christians is going to come by and say, "Hey, I didn't know you were here." You know, that sort of stuff. This is where verses 29 and 30 enter the scene to help us see the difference. In these verses, we have a string of words that combine to show us God's work in our lives. Too often, what happens is when we read these verses or we hear them taught or preached, people get caught up in the words themselves, trying to define them, and what we do is we run off base. The scripture is written like anything else should be written, and that is, there is a theme, there is a purpose. And this point that God is making here needs to be first understood before we get into the details of the words. If you jump to the details of words when you're reading scripture without knowing very well the whole context, you will never understand God's word. So you start off with a big picture and then eventually work your way down. So that's what I would like for us to do. The overall message in these verses is a very encouraging truth. Now let me summarize it for us right up front. God's program for believers, which is to be conformed to the image of the Son, is not an option. It is not something that God states and then says, "Now, try it out. See if you can do it." It is something that will happen. You, if you're a believer, will be conformed to the image of Christ. And it is God that orchestrates everything about that from beginning to end. In fact, we can't do it on our own, which means that our lives must have to be prepared ahead of time, ordered, and then carried along by the Lord so that we can accomplish the Lord's goal. And since God will ensure that it will happen, this means that in spite of our feelings, in spite of our failings, believers are secure in the Lord because He's running the whole thing. And just with that much, I say, "Thank you. Okay. It is a bad day for me, but I can trust you." Last time we looked at verse 29, I want us to look at 29 again just to go over a few basics because we're going to put 29 and 30 together. Let's read 29. and sometimes